Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
We should embrace our adversity and recognize it may well be the case that the things that are most difficult in life are the very things that help us think so clearly about what is most important to us in our lives.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Measuring Success Right. My name is Jake Conlon, and I will be your host for today. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Mark Hansen of the Strategic Management Program here at the Marriott School of Business. Dr. Hansen grew up in Southeast Idaho, where he served as the FFA state president and where he started his own fence building business. He served as a missionary for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Bolivia before attending BYU for a bachelor's degree in accounting and later a master's of accounting and an MBA. Dr. Hansen began working for Ford Motor Company in Michigan as a financial analyst in a manufacturing division. After Ford, Dr. Hansen went back to school for a PhD in strategic management at Texas A&M. His research has been published in various journals, and he is currently a professor at BYU in the strategy program, which is where our paths crossed. Dr. Hansen, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's great to be here, Jake.
Okay. So Dr. Hansen, a lot of people in our audience are students trying to choose their majors, or they're looking at different career routes. Today, I'd like to help them better understand what business strategy means. So that's going to be my first question for you. What is strategy? But before you go, I'll take a stab at defining it. I just finished the strategy junior core here at BYU. But my definition is going to sound pretty textbook. So feel free to jump in when I finish and really talk about how you define strategy and describe it to your friends and family. So the word strategy comes from the Greek word strategos, meaning the art of the general. Now, in war, the general looks at things from a very high level. He looks at the strengths of his army and how he can use those strengths. He looks at the weaknesses of his army and how he can fortify those weaknesses. And finally, he looks at what unique resources and capabilities his army has that could give him a competitive advantage against his enemies. He uses those unique resources and capabilities to craft a strategy that other armies can't easily imitate. In business, strategists do much the same by helping companies decide what markets to compete in, what unique value should they offer in that market, and then what resources and capabilities should they develop so that other companies can't easily copy their strategy. In short, strategists help companies navigate the business playing field. So that's kind of how I describe it. And I know that sounds really textbook. So Dr. Hansen, I'd love to hear how you describe it.
Well, what you've given, Jake, is a pretty good explanation. And I think when people hear that kind of explanation, it makes strategy quite appealing. The way I would define strategy is that it's the process of organizing the resources of an organization so that they can be deployed to the best possible advantage. And if I have to get it to one sentence, that's the sentence I like. Hmm. It's how do we organize our resources so that we can achieve some advantage in a marketplace or in an industry? And in order to do that, we have to know what the environment is in which this organization is operating. Because we can't make good decisions about how to deploy resources until we know what's out there. Hmm. So, for example, before COVID hit, every once in a while I'd be on an airplane and somebody would ask me what I did, and I'd say, well, I teach strategy. And they'd ask that question. They'll say, well, what's that? What do you teach students? And invariably, I'd end up telling them a lot about industry analysis. Here's what we teach students how to do, how to figure out what's going on in an industry, in a marketplace, in an economy. And once you know what's going on out there, then you start to get to the point where you can figure out how to deploy the resources of your organization so that you'll experience some advantage in the marketplace. Hmm. And a key part of that industry analysis is looking at other organizations to figure out what they've done with their resources. Which resources do they have? How have they put those resources together to deploy the resources in their effort to gain advantage? And so it's all about figuring out how those around you are trying to satisfy the needs and the wants of customers. So first, you've got to know what others are doing, and then you've got to figure out what you're going to do. Hmm. And oftentimes, that's a matter of knowing what resources are available to you, and then coming up with a novel way to put those resources together so that you can do something in the marketplace that others aren't doing. Because in the end, strategy is all about putting those resources together in a way and deploying them so that it generates a preference in the minds of consumers, so that they prefer your product or service over others. And the second thing is doing that in a way that others cannot easily imitate, so that you continue to have something that is unique or nearly unique in the marketplace, that the people are willing to pay more for, they're willing to go out of their way to get it.
Definitely. I love that definition. And I'm sure there are some of our audience members right now that are thinking, okay, strategy sounds cool. It sounds great. But what are the career routes that you can take? Can I work at a specific firm as a strategist? And so I'd love, Dr. Hansen, if you could kind of break down some of the career routes that you can pursue as a strategist.
Well, Jake, one of the great things about strategy and a career in strategy is that there are just so many different routes that a person can take. I think for a lot of people, when we talk about strategy, the first career route that pops into their minds is consulting. Hmm. And certainly that's a part of it. I saw some statistics the other day, and about a third of our students end up in consulting. But that means there are two-thirds that are doing something else. And there, when we look at where our students are going, we see a wide variety of places. There are some firms that have a strategy function, like you mentioned, but certainly not every firm. But there are some of the larger firms that have strategy functions that are actively helping the CEO or certain divisions develop and refine strategy. And so we have a good number of students that will go into business analyst positions, and that's becoming increasingly popular. From what I see, those opportunities are greater every year. Hmm. We even have some people that go through a more traditional discipline like finance or marketing, supply chain, human resources. There's another area that I've always been fascinated by, Jake, and that is the venture capital and private equity area. And what a strategist does for them is they examine the proposals that come in from people trying to raise money in the venture capital market. And so the venture capitalists need a good strategy person to look through the business plan, to run the numbers, to do some additional research on that industry, to try to figure out, is this something we ought to be invested in or not? And I just think that's an amazing opportunity for young strategists to get to know what's important to venture capitalists, what kinds of things are they looking for, how do they make decisions about what to fund and what not to fund. And one of the best things about strategy as a career, Jake, is that it's not the same thing every day. Hmm. In a lot of these areas, certainly consulting, venture capital, private equity, even if you're in a corporate environment, it's not the same business day in and day out. You may spend a few months or maybe even a year or two on one industry and you become expert in that, but then you move on and start to look at other things. And talking to former students, I'm always thrilled to hear how much variety there is in their careers.
Yeah.
And how they can become excited about an industry and say, you know, for the last 3 years I've been doing this and I love it. And now I get to go on to this other industry and become an expert there. So it's you get to do a little bit of everything, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I remember last year as I was going through the junior corps, hearing that so often, that studying strategy really opens doors. Because whether you go into consulting or if you make it into corporate strategy, companies are looking to hire people that think like strategists. They're looking for people that can see the big picture and see how they can contribute to that big picture. And so that's kind of the direction I want to go next, is what type of person is strategy a good fit for? What are their interests? How do they think?
That's a great question. And the way I would answer that is, it works well for a person that can easily move from the big picture to the fine detail and be equally comfortable. If somebody's going to be a great strategist, they've got to have that ability to take this enterprise-wide view and be able to appreciate the big picture and where this organization is going and what we have to do to get it there. But then they've also got to be able and willing to jump right into the detail and to be able to handle quantitative analysis as well as qualitative analysis and see how the two go together. This ability to do data analysis, where perhaps you're analyzing some huge data set that a business has, and then be able to translate the results of that data analysis into a format that makes sense for somebody right at the top of the organization to make decisions based on that analysis. I think that's what it really takes. And it needs to be somebody who loves to problem solve, who can look at an issue and say, I've got to figure this out. And I've got to figure out how to offer something to customers that they're not getting elsewhere. And then I've got to figure that out in a way so that they can't get it anywhere else. And I've got to figure out a way to please these customers in a way that they haven't even anticipated, they've never had in the past. And I think that's what it takes to really do well at strategy and to love what they do. I had lunch with a fund manager a few years ago. And at the time, I can't remember the numbers exactly, but he said they were the largest fund west of the Mississippi at the time that I was having lunch with him. And he asked me that question. He said, you know, what is it that you teach students? And I explained it to him. And then he said, you know, that's exactly the type of person we're looking for. He said, we can hire people all day that know how to put our data into the formulas. But he said, what we really need are people that know what data we ought to be using and what formulas we ought to be using. And this might sound a little bit self-serving given the name of your podcast, Jake, but I always like to say that a business education helps a person answer the questions right, but a strategy education helps a person answer the right questions.
Wow, that was powerful. I love that. And you know, those last 2 minutes, that was powerful. And kind of going along with that, you mentioned that strategists are problem solvers. And so just like all industries, strategic management, strategists are being challenged by the pandemic, and technology changes are definitely affecting the industry. So I guess that's my next question for you, is Could you talk a little bit about the current challenges facing the industry? How is the pandemic affecting strategists? And then also, how is technology affecting strategy? Are strategy jobs being replaced? Are strategists being replaced by VBA macros?
I don't think so. I don't think they are. In class just the other day, we had just finished our coverage of Tableau. And I had the students analyze a large data set, and they were generating insights from this data set about a company. And when we got all done, we were talking about how they had just been able to do things that 30 years ago, firms would have hired a consulting group to come in and try to figure those things out. And yet, because of this great software, they're now able to do it. Or at least they're well on their way to being able to generate some pretty amazing insights for top management. And so in that sense, you might say, well, yes, the software has made that heavy-duty analysis fairly accessible to people. But I like to look at that as creating opportunities, as rather than displacing consultants, because I don't think it does. I think there's another very good reason to hire consultants occasionally, but the capacity that people have today, it just allows us to create more opportunity. Now, to the question of how has the pandemic impacted businesses, you know, there are many industries that have fundamentally changed overnight, where their product simply is not demanded. There are some industries where government restrictions have been placed on their industries. Restaurants and certain formats in the restaurant business have actually been restricted in some cities and some states. The airline industry, the cruise line industry, Disneyland, you know, theme parks where people gather, theaters. So the movie industry has been disrupted. And not just, you look at the movie industry, and it's not just because we can't show a blockbuster movie in a theater crowded full of people these days, but you can't even film that movie to protect the cast and crew and so forth.
Yeah.
And so there are many industries that are dealing with this fundamental change. I think it's fascinating that there are some industries that have very quickly learned how to thrive in this environment. And there are other industries that are trying to figure out how do we provide our service, how do we provide our product in a way that people will demand. I would also add here, Jake, that although these times are unprecedented, there have been industries over time that have experienced similar shocks. And, well, firms adjust even if the industry basically ceases to exist. Firms can pivot and learn to do other things. And sometimes these kind of shocks are, they turn out to be the best thing that's ever happened to a company. And I suspect that we'll see some of those kinds of things. I think there's also a great lesson in this pandemic, and that is that whatever business model you develop, you should make sure that that business model has a lot of flexibility. If you look at the restaurant industry, there are some formats that have thrived in the pandemic. There are some restaurants that have altered their format a little bit, and they're now thriving. And there are others that just seem to be locked in. They had a business model that was unalterable, and those restaurants have really struggled. Many of those have gone out of business.
Yeah.
And of course, specifically what I'm referring to here is a restaurant that has a takeout capacity some of those have learned to thrive. And even in the local market, I've noticed that there are some that are just very good at taking orders online and delivering or having the food ready when you get there, and they just make it very easy. And it occurs to me that they are good not only at making the food, but at streamlining the process. They've figured out that convenience and safety is what people really prize.
Yeah.
And they're thriving. I've had several restaurateurs tell me their business has never been better. And I think that's amazing. And that speaks to the value of strategy. Strategists figure these kind of things out. They see the problem. They come up with a way to solve the problem. And that's largely a matter of figuring out what people really need and what's going on in the environment to, so that they can fulfill that need in the best possible way.
Yeah. I liked everything in that answer, but especially the part about how technology is creating opportunities instead of destroying jobs.
Exactly.
Because I want a job.
Yes. And I think the advances in technology, artificial intelligence, for people who are pursuing education, who are pursuing careers in strategy, I don't think anybody should be scared off or intimidated by AI. I think that's a new frontier that provides tremendous opportunity and ultimately will create jobs and good jobs, very good jobs.
Yeah, definitely excited to explore this frontier and watch as everything unfolds. So I want to change topics really quick before we get to our final question. Dr. Hansen, I remember last year you shared a story with our class about an experience you had where a COO walked into the room at Ford and said, "I need help with statistical process control. Does anyone have experience with that?" And you were the only one in the room that was able to raise your hand. And because of that, you got to work closely with him, and that really helped your career out. So obviously, I'd love for you to be able to share a little bit more about that experience with our audience, but I'd also like to hear your thoughts. What are some skills like that that students could focus on now that will really give them a leg up in their future careers?
Well, first, let me say, Jake, I'm so impressed that you remember that story. And basically what happened in the story, I was sitting there in a group of financial analysts, and these were financial analysts that had come from the best universities in the United States, and they were all very, very good at what they did. And one day a manager came in and said, "Is there anybody here that knows anything about statistical process control?" And I raised my hand because in the MBA program, we had learned about statistical process control in an operations class. So something outside of our financial discipline. And that led me onto a project that got me in front of the COO of our division. And as you say, really opened up a lot of great opportunities for me over the next couple of years. And I think that's indicative of what's going to happen in the careers of a lot of people. When they graduate from business school, they'll go on to jobs, or maybe they'll be part of a startup. And the thing that's really going to set them apart is when they're able to do something different, something that sets them apart from the rest of their cohort. And so I would just say to your listeners, pay attention. Pay attention during your education, pay attention in those first few jobs that you, and see that you're developing a skill set that will set you apart from others, because you never know when something might come along that confers tremendous advantage on you because there's something different that you can do. And I think the pandemic and some restaurant formats is a great example of that. For a lot of restaurants, the fact that they could do takeout was kind of a side business. It wasn't all that critical to their business.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, that became the determining factor in their success.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. And I love that story. It made me think twice anytime a professor said, oh, and some extra reading you could do if you want to learn more about R, if you want to learn more about Tableau, this is what you can do. It made me really perk up for those moments. So I love that story. And then final question for you. Our show is called Measuring Success Right, based on Clayton Christensen's book, How Will You Measure Your Life? And, you know, after such an incredible career in the field and after doing so well in your academics and then helping so many students, I'd love to hear how you personally measure your success. And I guess in reference to earlier in the podcast, what are the right questions to ask when you're determining your success?
Oh, well, that's a very profound question, Jake. When I think about measuring success, of course, we all, whenever we hear that term, we think of Clayton Christensen.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Clayton well, but I met him a few times, and I was always so impressed. I was impressed that he could remember my name. You know, I haven't done anything professionally that would put me on the same stage as Clayton Christensen. And yet, he learned my name and he remembered it. And I've always been so impressed by that. And from the few visits that I had with him and the times that I heard him talk in some intimate settings, I think that one of the things that made that allowed Clayton to be so insightful about this issue of how will you measure your life are the experiences that he had that were adverse. In other words, it was the adversity that allowed him to be so thoughtful about what really mattered. Hmm. He had a strong sense of his own mortality, and he used that strong sense to influence lives in an incredible way through that book, the talks that he gave, and now something like your podcast here. Hmm. And I think it's that same thing is true for all of us, that oftentimes it's our adversity that really makes us stop and think about what is most important to us. And we all have these decisions to make about what it is that we're going to spend our time on, what it is that we are going to treasure most in our life. So I would say one of the great lessons from Clayton Christensen's life is that we should embrace our adversity and recognize it may well be the case that the things that are most difficult in life are the very things that help us think so clearly about what is most important to us in our lives. It's our adversity. It's the times when we think that we have failed, or that there is no hope, or that we're experiencing more pain than we ever could have imagined. Those are the times that help us to truly be successful. I was working on a research project one time, and I read some literature from the field of psychology that talked about how happiness was the congruence between our ideal state and our actual state. So we have this ideal of the way life ought to be, and then we have our own experience, our actual state of the way things really are. And the extent that those things are congruent with each other largely determines our happiness. And I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
So my advice would be, think carefully about what's most important to you. Think carefully about what truly makes you happy. And then work in your life to bring that into congruence with your actual state in life. Hmm. And do the things that are going to bring about that congruence. And a lot of times people have an epiphany about how they're spending their time, how they're pursuing a career, money, investments, hobbies, and an event comes along in their life and it causes them to think more deeply and carefully about what really makes them happy. And I can promise your listeners that as you age, things will become more clear to you about what is really important. And my advice would be just be thoughtful about that. Actually spend some time thinking carefully about, you know, what is it here that is really most important to me? And I think as you do that, FOMO will kind of go out the window. The fear of missing out on what everybody else is doing right now will flee. And it probably should. It's a good thing that is fleeting. And think about the things that really make you happy and that are most important to you. And I would say that's really the key to happiness and to success and to feeling that you've done the right thing with your life.
Wow. Thank you for that insight. And thank you so much, Dr. Hansen, for joining us on the show this week.
Well, thank you, Jake. It's been an honor to be on your podcast today. And I'm so impressed by the reach and the impact that you're having with this podcast and the positive impact on so many young people around the world. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thanks again, Dr. Hansen, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in each week. As always, we love hearing from you. Keep the feedback coming. Our email is msrpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out with any recommendations for topics or careers that would interest you and you want to hear more about. This has been another episode of Measuring Success Right. Hope you guys have a great week.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.